I'd like to read from the first epistle of John and the second chapter. Chapter 2, and I'll read verses 12 to 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. This, I think, is one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament. It's also, I think, one of the most enigmatic. In other words, it's quite hard to interpret. It's hard to know why John structures what he writes in the way in which he does. Now, usually when I prepare for tonight, I look at a couple of commentaries. This afternoon, I looked at rather more. And it will seem that there are the same number of interpretations of the passage as there are interpreters. Each interpreter and his dog, who at least felt the need to write a commentary, has an explanation as to why it is structured in this way, that there is a repetition. Little children, fathers, young men, and so on. I write, I have written. Who is he writing to? It doesn't seem to necessarily follow what goes before it, neither to introduce what proceeds from it. Is he actually writing to a particular church, and he's writing to what we would call members of a Sunday school? Then he's writing to the young men who've had their children. And he's writing to the fathers, and those who've not yet been old enough to have children? Is that what it means? Why does he not write to the women? Is he writing, and I've got a bit more sympathy for this interpretation, to categories of people in the church with varying degrees of maturity? So, for example, this would mean that those who are little children are not literally tiny little bodies not long out of the womb, but these are people who have perhaps not been converted very long. They are babes in the Lord. They've not yet matured or developed their faith. The fathers are perhaps church leaders, those who have established strong faith, who are able to perhaps help others to grow. And the young men, perhaps not church leaders, but they are perhaps more mature in their faith than those who are the little children. That would work, in my mind, a little bit better. And yet, I think it was F.F. Bruce who commented, the characteristics of all of these groups within the church are characteristics that every Christian ought to have, and indeed do have. So I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And if the little children, of course, refers to those who are perhaps not long converted, they're not mature. They are, of course, still rejoicing in that wonderful knowledge that their sins have been forgiven. Sometimes the older we get, the more used we are to the idea of forgiveness, of being reconciled to God. But that moment when somebody becomes a Christian for that very first time, and they know that when they prayed that prayer, everything they have done has been forgiven, blotted out and forgotten, is a particular joy to that stage, I think, of the faith, though we also ought to be reminded of it. So I write to you, little children, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And it's worth our remembering that. We are a forgiven people. Mm-hmm. I write to you, fathers. Now, again, you might expect him to go from the children to the young men and then the fathers, but no. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Now, I presume that the him here is the Lord Jesus himself. It's very much a theme in John's writing. We have known him from the beginning. Beginning in the gospel and in the epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. And these fathers, these more mature people in the church, they've known him who is from the beginning without shifting. Remember, John is writing against false teachers, and they're bringing in new interpretations, new ideas, new figures worthy of their interest. But the fathers, apparently, no, they're sticking to him whom they have known from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Have the fathers overcome the wicked one? Presumably. What about the little children? Well, the young men in particular. These people who have really grown in their faith. And evidently, the devil has sought to attack them. And the devil does not like strong, vigorous Christian faith. He does not like strong, vigorous Christian churches. And he will do all he can to hinder and to obstruct, to besmirch. But these young men, they have overcome the wicked one. How on earth have they managed to overcome the wicked one? Because their saviour has overcome the wicked one, and they are in him. He then writes again to the children. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Not only do they know that their sins have been forgiven for his name's sake, but they know the Father. If your sins have been forgiven, you know God the Father. You know him whom you've never seen. You know him whom you could not look upon without dying. One day you will look upon him without dying. But you know him. Becoming a Christian is not just about knowing your sins are forgiven and the account is clear. It's about entering a relationship with God. You were an outcast and an exile. Now you are a son. You were a slave. Now you are a member of the family. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. One commentator says that he's actually referring perhaps to the gospel, which he wrote previously, which these people have read. I don't know. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Well, that's a repetition of verse 13. Why do they not get anything new? Perhaps John is emphasising that when you've known him who's from the beginning, you know everything you need to know. The older I get, the more ignorant I realise that I am. Not just of things of the world, but, you know, things of scripture, things of the Lord. I think, you know, what an ignorant fellow you are. But I have known, and I do know, him who is from the beginning. The Alpha and the Omega. The God of Genesis, the God of Revelation. I have known him, and he has known me, and God willing, I will continue to know him. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Do we feel strong tonight? Well, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We may not be strong, but our God is strong. And if we are found in him, then we shelter within his strength. Not only are you strong, but the word of God abides in you. That, of course, might be the reason for their strength. I remember being asked to complete a form. I think it was from the Bible Society. a few years ago, and evidently they wanted to know what kind of Christians were subscribing to their magazine. It didn't mention denominations, but it said you had to tick which one you were. So, are you a sacramental Christian? Are you a spirit-based Christian, capital S? Are you a word-based Christian? Are you a social action-based Christian? And there was about a dozen different options. Right, which one am I? In fact, I threw the form away. Because if you're not a word-based Christian, whatever you do in social action is a waste of time. Mm. Whatever you claim the Spirit is whispering to you, if you don't have God's words, it could be any old Tom, Dick, or Harry whispering into your heart. These people are being commended because the Word of God abides in you. They don't just open up a Bible. Of course, they wouldn't have had a Bible as we have it. But the equivalent is actually abiding within them. And once again, you have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one has attempted to assail them and their faith, but he went away with his tail beneath his legs, because the devil cannot attack the one in whom the word of God abides. When Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, you know, he rebuffs each time with a quotation from Scripture, against which Satan cannot argue. Now, I'm sure afterwards you may want to give me your own interpretation of this passage. And yet, whether we be little children or fathers or these kind of vigorous young men, all the characteristics described here, we ought to have and we ought to desire more of. And God willing.